You are tuned in right now to 88.7 KBVR Corvallis. Just as a reminder, the thoughts, opinions, and views expressed on this radio program are those of the hosts and not shared by KBVR's faculty, staff, or administration.
Good afternoon, Corvallis. You're listening to 88.7 KBVR. It's time for the Barometer Sports Thermometer. We got a lot of Beaver sports to talk about today. We'll talk Beavers basketball. We're going to talk Beavers football. We're going to talk Beavers women's soccer. They got a huge match. This is Alex Crawford alongside me, Grady Garrett. Grady, how are you doing on this Thursday?
Doing a little bit good. I almost overslept the show, so I was a little bit worried about that, but I'm here now, so I'm good.
It's good to see you catching up on your sleep. I was getting a little concerned.
Yeah, I'm a binge sleeper.
So you'll pull like binge all-nighters and then you'll go on just like sleeping binges as well?
Yeah. My week this week has been like that.
Hot and cold,
yep.
Kind of like the play of Sean Mannion on the football field. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he's had one hot game. we'll see.
I don't know. He looked hot at times against Stanford, but that sounds a little bit not what I'm intending to say. His football playing looked good at times. Greedy question. Do you drink coffee?
I do not drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee. Okay. Well, I'm having a dilemma because I used to just be one of those people that would only drink black coffee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would be very critical of those who put a lot of creamers, different flavored creamers and sugars, et cetera, in their coffee. And now just lately I started putting some cream, some like cinnamon and nutmeg, and it tastes really good. So I'm kind of in a dilemma. I don't want to become one of those people, but I don't know. I just wanted to air that out. Get that off my chest.
I have no input on coffee. I've never drank coffee once in my life.
Really?
I believe. I've been to Starbucks a few times by myself, and I would call my sister, who's a senior in high school, and say, all right, what should I get? What would I like? And she would tell me to get, I don't even know the name, but
well, I have a question.
It wasn't coffee. It'd be some sort of like milkshake drink.
How do you pull these all-nighters then? What's your upper of choice?
5-hour energy.
Oh, okay. Those are effective.
As well as I have some other strategies.
Okay.
As well,
we can talk about these later.
Yeah.
I need to get some tips from you about how to never sleep.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's get started. Let's go into the Beaver rundown.
Mm-hmm. Lots of sports because winter sports are starting up now.
Yeah, too, I know. So. There's a nice overlap.
Yeah. Yep. It's a couple week overlap, but we're in the prime of it right now.
Okay, well, let's start off with men's soccer. They didn't play a game last weekend, and they've got University of Washington in Seattle for their final game of the season. A little bit riding on this game. If they win, they'll actually, I believe I read, if they win, they'll be in a three-way tie for third place or some kind of weird.
Yeah, and remember, though, the Pac-12 for men's soccer only has six teams. So,
yes.
I mean, they're... But it's a big improvement from last year where they only won one conference game. So they've won three already, tied one. They're 3-5-1. So a win would be good. That'd put them at 4-5-1, which is right on the cusp of 500. So that's definitely a step up from last year when they only won one.
Yeah, and there's been some – they've showed some really good play at times, especially Emery Welshman, who we had on the show, and Roberto Farfan. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Farfan?
Yeah.
Both of those two have been really solid. They're both, I think it was Top Drawer Soccer ranks them both in the top 100 nationally in terms of soccer players, and two guys that will be back next year, so that bodes well for OSU's
Everyone's
future.
Back next year except for the goalie, Steve Spangler, and defender, John Swenson. So they have a lot coming back, so we'll see. This could be a win today. I mean, tomorrow might give them some momentum riding into next year. But
yeah.
We'll see. Then we got, let's see here, volleyball, tough weekend. We talked about how important last weekend was going to be. And not to gloat because I've been wrong just as many times as I've been right, but I felt like they weren't quite there. And I said they were going to go down and they were going to lose both games. They went down and they got swept in both games in the desert. 3-0 to Arizona and 3-0 to ASU. The Arizona one wasn't too much of a shock because they had already beaten Oregon State earlier this year. And they were, at the time, tied with Oregon State for seventh in the conference. The ASU one came as a bit of a shock. Oregon State beat them earlier this year, and ASU was just 1-13 heading into that match in Pac-12 play. So that was a tough one, and to get swept by ASU really makes you scratch your head.
Yeah, my predictions were way off. I think I predicted OSU going 2-0 in the weekend, I don't remember if it was 2-0 or 1-1, but I at least predicted them winning matches or sets in both games, quite a few sets, and they got swept in both games. So it was
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a sad turn of events, especially coming off a 3-game win streak for that to happen for them. It's got to really hurt the confidence of the team, you'd think.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about their coach said they need 9 conference wins to have a chance to make the postseason, and they're sitting at 6 right now, and they have 6 games left, and so that means they need to win 3 of those 6, and all 6 are against ranked opponents, so including UCLA, USC, California, and Stanford, who are all in the top 5 nationally, so basically, you can kiss any postseason chances goodbye.
Yeah, they're not going to hit that 9-win mark.
Yep, which means for the second year in a row, women's soccer will be the only fall sports team to make it to the postseason.
That's so disappointing. You could usually, I mean, you used to be able to count on football, at least back when I was in high school and I would look at OSU. Oh, they'd always go to a bowl game. Now it's like,
took it for granted.
I know, we did. I seriously did.
Well, speaking of football, they will be on the road at California tomorrow. In all honesty, I couldn't even tell you what time the game's at or what channel it's on. That's the state of Beaver Athletics right now.
Wow.
Do you know?
Yeah, it's on at 3:30, and I think it's on Root Sports, but don't quote me on that.
3:30 our time or 3:30?
3:30 Cal time.
Okay, so our time, specific time.
Yeah, no, 3:30 our time is from, as far as I can tell. Although, maybe that was Eastern, now that I think about it.
Knowing our chances, it's probably Eastern.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Every game. Did you hear that the Washington game next week got announced for 12:30?
Oh, my. That
completing the epic 6-game streak of that games at 1 o'clock or earlier. Especially I really want to ask Steve Fank, when was the last time that happened? Because I think that's just be a fun fact. I wonder how students are reacting to it.
Yeah, that really makes me angry because it's dad's weekend and like, you know, you want to have some time during the day to tailgate with your dad, walk around campus with him, you know, hang out with his pops a little bit. And now this game at 12:30 totally throws everything for a loop, screws up a lot of schedules. I know a big part of dad's weekend, at least in the Greek life community, is, you know, a sorority comes over and you mingle and stuff before the game. No sorority girls are going to come over, be ready to go to the game at 10 in the morning with their dads. No way. That totally puts a nail in that coffin. So I don't know. I don't know who to blame. I guess blame the networks. Blame the teams.
I think it's a direct correlation. It's got to be a direct correlation with how we're doing.
Absolutely.
We're not getting the good time slots.
So. No prime time for a 2-7 team.
Exactly. And I mean, that's just another, I guess, bad thing about being 2-7. Something that you might not realize when you're doing well.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought it would affect your game times? That's frustrating. And remember that the good thing about that Saturday, that game being at 12:30, is Oregon State men's basketball actually plays at 6 o'clock on ESPN against Texas.
Oh, hell.
So if it
silver
that
lining.
Might work, yeah, that's definitely a silver lining. I mean, in all honesty, I might be more excited for that game than I am for the football game.
Oh, no doubt, actually. I mean, I'm very excited for men's basketball against Texas,
pending this week's results.
Yeah, pending Cal State Bakersfield
on Saturday.
And do we play West Alabama and Hofstra as well before that?
We play Hofstra, yeah. I'm looking up the schedule right now. But we play Hofstra on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, we play West Alabama Monday and Hofstra on Wednesday.
Very winnable games, those three.
Yes, which Not we will exactly, get more into yeah. that later.
Yeah, very winnable. When you say, you know, basketball powerhouse, West Alabama, Cal State Bakersfield don't exactly come to mind quickly. Or at all, ever.
Yeah.
Both those teams are not good.
Yeah.
So we should definitely beat them. But we'll talk about that.
Uh-huh.
Moving on, women's soccer. Huge game tomorrow night at Paul Lorenz Field. I'm really excited for that. 7 p.m. start time?
7 p.m. start time.
Against University of Portland Pilots. So a little in-state rivalry type action there. The Pilots did win the previous meeting this season between the two teams 2-1 in overtime. So the women's soccer team will be looking for some revenge. And that's awesome. It's the first time since 1994 that women's soccer has hosted an NCAA postseason game here.
I don't think they hosted in 94.
Really? I got that off of the OSU Athletics website.
Really?
So.
Okay, I've been publishing it wrong in the barometer then all week if I'm wrong there. Whoops. I'll have to take a look on that. I know 1994, they made it to the tournament. That was the only other time they made it to the tournament. I didn't know if they hosted. I assumed that they didn't because they lost in the first round. But I'll go back and I'll take
a look
at that. We'll figure that out.
We'll get our interns on that one and have them fact check that. So we'll get them right away on that. So that's a big game. I'm going to go to that one for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely the game of the weekend if you are a Beaver fan and most you want to go. I think tickets cost $5 for students and they cost $10 for adults. They go on sale at 5, and I believe they're only allowing 2,200 people into the stadium. So I think 2,000 seats and then 200 standing room only tickets, which I'm surprised they're not going to just try and squeeze as many people in as possible. But
yeah,
but hey.
We're actually going to have two women's soccer players on the show. Two seniors?
Yeah.
On the show here.
Two all Pac-12 honorable mention seniors.
Exciting. That's exciting stuff. Not Canadians, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Even though Colleen's from La Cañada. La Cañada. Yeah.
So it's, towing the line there. It's, I mean, the
spelled
word,
like Canada.
The word Canada is in there, so.
But yeah, and Mad Billy Brittany is from Arizona, so
yeah,
our Canadian streak just went out the window.
Yeah, it's it had to come to an end. I kept the Canadian streak alive a little bit on my show last week I had Johnny Motomochi on, men's golfer from Canada.
Yeah.
He was a guest intern on the show, and so I tried to keep the Canadian thing going. It's good. It's good. It's good for the international relations.
Yeah. But hey, you gotta get to the Americans sometime. All right. For the rest of the weekend, as we mentioned, men's basketball plays Cal State Bakersfield Saturday at 1:30 at Gill Coliseum. That will be their opener of the 2011 season. They played an exhibition game last week against Pacific and won 64-33, but that was just an exhibition game, so really it doesn't really matter. Saturday 1:30 against Cal State Bakersfield. The women's basketball team, I believe, plays tomorrow.
Oh, we have a call.
We have a call. Already?
Wow.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. 88.7 KBVR, you're on the air.
Oh, I don't know the actual air. I just had a concern about your station for a second. It's a good thing, though.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm on the air, though?
You are on the air, so I don't know.
I didn't want that. For the past couple weeks, man, your reception has been, like, real spotty, so I don't know if the numbers are dialed in on whatever the meter thing is.
Okay.
I mean, it could just be my radio, but I don't think so.
Okay, well, I'll inform the proper people about that because that's no good.
Yeah, it's just real spotty. It's been like that for a couple of weeks.
How is it today?
It's just kind of still bad,
Okay.
Usually it's crystal clear, man. I'm only a few miles from campus, so.
Yeah, that should be clear. Well,
I just thought I'd let you know, man. Maybe just tell the station engineer or something.
I will. Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Take it easy.
All righty. Well, looks like we gotta get that cleared.
Yeah, we'll get that taken care of. Back to where we were, men's basketball.
We were going to women's basketball.
Women's basketball.
They play tomorrow at noon. Not really sure why they're playing a Friday game at noon. Was that another one?
Yeah.
Yep, we got another call. We're gonna set a record for calls today.
88.7 KBVR. You're on the air.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Shit, really? Bye.
Whoa. That was a weird call. All right, I don't know. Why?
Why are people not thinking they're on the air when you call in?
I don't know. That's bizarre, man.
Our line is 541-737-4962, and that will put you on air. We love taking calls.
We'd love to talk Beaver sports with anybody out there or anything. Yeah, anything Oregon State related, call in. But at least when you call in, be ready to be on the air.
Yeah, realize that you're calling in. We don't bite, so don't be intimidated. But anyways, for the third time, women's soccer tomorrow at noon against Western Oregon, and then Sunday at 2 against Montana State. So lots of Beaver games around town this weekend. I mean, you have the women's soccer game tomorrow night. You have the men's basketball game Saturday, and you have women's basketball Friday and Sunday. So all four of those games are around. They're all at different times, so you can make it to any of them.
And women's basketball, what a big turnaround in the last 2 years, going from, you know, just the program really being down and out when LaVonda Wagner was the head coach. Things were just not looking up for the program at all, and you bring in Scott Ruick, the program's really turned around. They're on the rise. He's doing a good job. And I'm excited to see how they improve this year.
I am too. It'll be interesting to watch develop. We'll see if they do a better job of taking a jump from year one to year two under Ruick than the men's basketball team did under Robinson.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They actually went down.
Yeah, Robinson came in and, you know, CBI right away. And then since then, I think they're ready to take that jump this year, big leap forward. But, you know, we all know how optimistic I am about this season. I think a lot of people on campus are optimistic, one, because of Robinson's optimism and just the way the team's, you know, looking and the hype around the team, but also because they want to be optimistic. They need something to hold on to in terms of Beaver sports with football being the way it is and no NBA season. It's like, all right, Beaver basketball needs to be good or this winter is going to suck. So people are like, at least for now, they can hold on to that and keep that in their minds, keep them calm.
Yeah, I actually asked Ahmad Starks, Ahmad Starks was talking about how high the energy was this year. He said a lot more people around campus are talking about Beaver basketball than they were last year. He said other guys from past years have said it's way higher this year than it was last year or in past years before last year. And I asked him why he thought that, and he, without even being prompted, he said, A, because they have a lot of good guys back. B, because the football team is not doing well. I believe his words were they're having an up and down year. So we kind of sugarcoated that a little bit. But his main point was, yeah, people are pretty frustrated. So they have a lot of expectations. He said there's a lot riding on our season. So we have to go out and deliver. And then he said third, that the NBA, he said people from all over the state of Oregon are going to want to watch basketball, so they're going to come to Corvallis, which was a good point. So I think there is some silver lining maybe in the fact that there is no NBA season and the football team's doing bad, because, hey, maybe a lot more people will care about men's basketball this year.
And basketball games, when it's a packed house and, you know, everyone's into it, I think they're equally as fun, if not more fun, than football games. Although, I mean, it's a different atmosphere, but I personally really enjoy, you know, a packed arena. Everyone's cheering. It gets so loud in there, and it's so personal in Gill Coliseum and in most basketball arenas. You're so close to the floor. You're not a bad seat in the house. So
yeah,
I'm really excited for that. I love the energy in college basketball. I love the feeling of a big college basketball game. So I'm excited for that.
It'll be interesting. I mean, we haven't really had one of those games, in my opinion, in the 2 years that we've been here. I mean, a game with really something on the line, packed house, like, no, like, it's...
A game with something on the line, no, but the game last year, the Civil War game that was here, the Gill was pretty full. Gill, there was a lot of energy in Gill, especially when the Beavers were, you know, because the Beavers struggled in that game, but there was times when they came back, times when the game was close. I really felt a lot of good energy in there. You may disagree.
Which is really surprising, because really neither team was playing for much. But
hey, well, we all know how you feel about
Yeah, about, which we did say we will dive into that at some point this season.
We definitely will.
But yeah, we'll get more into that. Let's talk about how important these men's basketball games are,
okay,
non-conference wise.
Yeah, obviously the non-conference schedule is, with the exception of the, what is it, the Ticket City Legends Basketball Classic,
yeah,
those games, with the exception of those games against the likes of Texas, Vanderbilt, maybe NC State, we have a piece of cake out of conference schedule. Chicago, Illinois, Cal State, Bakersfield, I mean, no-name programs, really, yeah, just an easy cakewalk schedule. So for Oregon State to come out and lose a game like last year, they lost games to the likes of Seattle University, Utah Valley University,
Texas Southern.
Yeah, games you cannot lose. Games, George, if you want to make it to the NCAA tournament, you have to win those games. If you want to be a real team, you have to win those games. So,
yeah, that's really, and I wanted to do some research on that because I've always wondered kind of how many, you know, you watch bracketology and stuff in February,
yeah,
and March, and they'll flash a team's resume and they'll say bad losses, and they'll like show losses to teams with RPIs below 100 or whatever, 150. So I wanted to go back and look at how many teams in the NCAA tournament field actually suffered bad losses. Losses as bad as Oregon State's. So what I qualified bad losses as was a loss at home to a team not from a BCS conference.
Okay.
That didn't make the NCAA tournament. So I know that sounds a little bit confusing, but it's pretty simple. I mean, the George Washingtons, the Texas Southerns, the Utah Valleys of the world. Because Oregon State lost three games at home to teams that did not make the NCAA tournament, not from BCS conferences. Texas Southern, Utah Valley, and George Washington. Those were all at home, which really those are games you should win. And Robinson said that when I talked to him yesterday. He said, actually he told the team before practice that they need to win the games they're supposed to win. He said, we're a Pac-12 team playing on our home floor against an opponent that we're favored against. We need to win those games if we're going to be a good team. So Oregon State has not won those games in the past. I mean, the stats I was able to pull up were not extremely overwhelming, but there were seven teams in last year's field. Of the 37 at-large teams, seven lost at home to teams from non-BCS conferences that didn't go on to make the NCAA tournament. But none of them lost more than one game. Tennessee lost at home versus Charleston. Penn State lost at home to Maine. Louisville lost at home to Drexel. USC lost at home to Rider. Florida lost at home to Jacksonville. And St. John's lost at home to St. Bonaventure. And UCLA lost at home to Montana. So what are those, what's that tell you?
You got to win the games you got to win?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't even feel like Oregon State can afford one loss, one head-scratch loss, as you called it a couple weeks ago, because you see a lot of names on that list you named off. UCLA, Florida, Tennessee, those are established basketball programs, and Oregon State hasn't made the NCAA tournament since when, 1990?
Yeah.
So for us, it's going to be tough. It's going to be – we're going to have to really show the committee that we deserve to be there. So if they look – and we have a loss to a team. Let's just say Cal State Bakersfield. I don't think we're going to lose to them, but let's say we have a loss to Cal State Bakersfield. Even if we win the rest of the games we're supposed to win, if we finish with an average Pac-12 record, they're not
going to
give
us the deal breaker.
Yeah, they're not going to give us the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, and you, like you said, you look at some of these teams like Louisville. I mean, they're in the Big East. Obviously, they can afford a loss to Drexel. I mean, yeah, St. John's, Big East, Florida. Obviously, they've been a powerhouse for a while. So, yeah, I really don't think Oregon State can afford a single loss to one of those teams that they've lost to. And the last time Oregon State – I actually thought this would be longer ago, but the last time Oregon State avoided one of those at home to a non-BCS school losses was 2005-2006 season.
That was they didn't lose one.
They didn't lose a home game to a non-BCS.
Oh, okay.
That type of thing.
Okay.
So really, they didn't lose. They have a bad loss, but that stat's a little bit misleading because they only played four non-conference home games.
Oh,
and I believe they went I believe they went 3-4 on the road in non-conference games, so they had 4 losses in non-conference to some of those similar teams. So that stat's a little bit misleading. But, yeah, Oregon State traditionally has really had their NCAA tournament hopes absolutely killed by the time Pac-10 play starts.
We cannot have that this season. Like, for one, the fan support that's there, that's building right now, that foundation that's starting to build will just crumble if we lose. I mean, if we lose to Vanderbilt and Texas, sure, that we can live with that. But if we lose to Hofstra and Chicago, Illinois, coming into Pac-12 play, it's like people are just not going to have that support. They're going to be like, oh, it's another one of these teams. It's another one exactly. of these hot and cold teams.
I mean, people are going to be on the edge of their seat waiting to see what happens, and they're going to want any reason to say, oh, God, it's going to be another year that we haven't changed. Nothing's changed. And one of those losses will give them that reason. And, I mean, you'll see the excitement level diminish a lot if they lose one of those games. I mean, let's just run down the games that they play. So they have Cal State Bakersfield Saturday at home. They have West Alabama at home on Monday. They have Hofstra at home on Wednesday. They have Montana at home on December 4th. Idaho at home on December 9th. Illinois, Chicago at home December 13th. Howard at home December 15th. And Portland State at home December 18th.
Yeah, the biggest name on that list is like Idaho or Portland State. So, I mean, gosh, I don't see us losing any of those games. But, you know, I've been watching this Beaver team now for a while. I kind of know what to expect out of them, at least in years past. So, I'm still a little nervous. There's still a little doubt. But What do you think? Do you think they win all those games?
It's tough. I mean, there is that doubt, and we've seen it happen. I think the first three are going to be key. If they can get off to a nice 3-0 start, then maybe the ball will get rolling. I mean, I remember last year they won their first one, but then they went down to Seattle or up to Seattle to take on Seattle U, and they lost. And I think that just absolutely killed any momentum they had going into the season. So that's why we saw some of those losses to the likes of George Washington, Utah Valley, etc. But yeah, and then so the rest of the non-conference schedule is against Texas in New Jersey, and then against either North Carolina State or Vanderbilt in New Jersey. Then they play at Towson, which is in Maryland, which is only an hour away from D.C., so that's when they'll be making their annual Washington, D.C. trip to visit the president.
See.
Yep. And then they play at Chicago State in Chicago, Illinois. So that's not bad. 12 non-conference home games, and 8 of them are at home. 12 non-conference games, and 8 are at home. So
yeah, that bodes well for us. Getting into Pac-12 play, we could have a lot of momentum. If everything goes according to plan, and I'm sure that's what Craig Robinson wants, we could have a ton of momentum coming into Pac-12 play.
We could. I mean,
theoretically, we could be undefeated. Theoretically.
Yeah. I mean, Vanderbilt is looming ahead if we somehow beat Texas. And Vanderbilt, I believe, is number 7 in the nation. So that would be quite an upset if we came out of there 2-0.
Oh, they're number 7 right now? I did not realize.
Vanderbilt's number 7. So wow. They're pretty good. But, I mean, realistically, you can see Oregon State going 8-0 at home. I mean, maybe 7-1. At Chicago State, at Towson, I mean, neither of those programs stand out.
No.
Oregon State should be able to win both of those. And then, I mean, let's say they lose both in New Jersey, but that's still 10-2, 9-3 heading into the Pac-12. And that's definitely staying afloat. If your only losses are to two big-time schools, that's staying afloat for sure. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, if Oregon State wants to make that leap and become a good program again, like they were in the late 70s, early 1980s, even up until the early 90s. And if Craig Robinson truly wants to establish himself as a top coach, they're going to need to win all those games. I mean, you don't see teams like UCLA, although, I mean, okay, there was the Montana loss, but you don't see teams like UCLA going undefeated in games against really winnable opponents. I don't really know how to call that, classify that stat, but you don't see them losing bad games like that five seasons in a row. You don't see them having five seasons in a row with at least one bad, bad loss. So for Oregon State, that would just be a huge step in the right direction.
It would be. And that's, like I said, that's going to be kind of the barometer for the start of the season is how they do in those first three. I mean,
the barometer.
Yeah. I like yeah. That. And you'd like to see them come out and blow out those games. I mean, they've been close in the past. Those losses, I can't remember which one it was last year, but there was one last year that just went down to the wire, and Ahmad Starks missed a layup with 10 seconds to go, and everyone called him, like, the GOAT of the game. But it shouldn't come down to that.
No.
So, I mean, they need to – if they blow out those first three opponents, which they should, it could very well bode well for the future.
Agreed. Agreed. Shout out to Christmas movies. The movie Jingle All the Way is on HBO right now. My friend Corey down in Eugene just informed me. I love that movie. Have you seen Jingle All the Way? It's the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
The Turbo Man doll. It's in my mind, it's a Christmas classic, although I think few agree with me, but I love it. 1997.
I'm not a big movie guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know,
yeah, because you tried to ask me about scary movies.
I always try to bring up movies, and you're always just like, yeah, not a movie guy.
Remember the Titans.
Well, that's a great
movie. That's my movie.
I don't know anybody who doesn't like that movie.
Yeah,
like, that movie's so good. That's a great movie.
But yeah, that's about where we had to do actually in today's to go away from sports a little bit, just for a brief moment. I think we did our top five movies as an editorial staff in the barometer two Thursdays ago. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't. Is there? There's something in today's, right?
Today, there's top five TV shows. So I want to hear what ones you agree with, what you disagree with.
First of all, The Wire. I've never seen The Wire.
Never seen The Wire. You've got to be kidding me.
I know, right? Hang me. Seriously. I call myself a fan of good television and good movies. I know. It's disgusting. But from what I've heard... Oh, you wrote that. You wrote The Wire.
Yeah, So we each picked one show to write about as an editorial staff. So I obviously took The Wire.
I see what you wrote here. Greatest show in the history of television. I've heard that. And so, without a doubt, it's a series that I plan on getting into in the next year. And I apologize to you, to the entertainment gods, for not watching it yet. This is cool. I think I was talking to Don. I'm going to write something for the diversion in the next one. So I'm really excited. This is like my favorite thing, is writing this kind of stuff. So that's awesome. Curb Your Enthusiasm is hilarious.
Really? I've never seen it.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm just kidding. I guess that's reasonable for a guy, you know, you don't watch a lot of movies.
I watch a lot of TV shows. I choose wisely.
Hermit crab shell of your office, close the door, take dips, and watch sports on Rangers games on repeat. That's what I imagine you doing.
You're close there.
I imagine you with, like, VHS tapes of, like, all the games, and you just rewatch them and, like...
Yeah, I have the Rose Bowl from 2006 that I watch periodically.
That's awesome. So, by periodically, do you mean once a week?
I used to watch it a lot more than I have. I would probably watch it like once a year now. January 4th, the anniversary.
Okay.
It's like the closest thing I have to an important anniversary in my life.
That's such a good game, though. Actually, that's a game I haven't watched since it happened. I would actually be very down to rewatch it. One of my favorite games I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
So, yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm is hilarious. I recently picked up season 3 on DVD at the Habitat for Humanity Restore there on 9th Street.
Mm-hmm.
DVDs, 5 for $15. So,
really?
Can't really go. I mean, obviously, they don't have the greatest selection, but I picked up Curb Your Enthusiasm there.
How many seasons did you pick up?
Well, they only had season 3, so.
Okay, how many seasons are there?
I think they're in season 7 right now.
Oh,
don't quote me on that.
Okay, so that's like a month-long project.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch that.
Yeah, it's funny, though. It's like they call it the show about nothing because there's no really plot, but it's hilarious. Golden Girls. I can't say I've watched a lot of Golden Girls. I know it's on Lifetime. I know it's about, I believe, old women.
Brandon Southward, my boss, is obsessed with Golden
Girls. I've actually heard him say, bring up Golden Girls multiple times in the meetings and stuff. And that's bizarre.
It's really weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it just to see. Law & Order SVU. I've dabbled in that. There's like a million Law & Orders now.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. That was Joe C that wrote that one, and I was like, I don't know. That
girls love, like, SVU.
I don't even know what SVU stands for.
Special Victims Unit.
Like, I couldn't tell you what that means.
It's about, like, I think it mainly deals with, like sexual assault and, like, things like that. Like, I don't really know. I mean, I'm a fan of, like, just the classic Law and Order. You know what you're getting with Law and Order. You're getting an hour-long mystery. You can easily follow along. Cool soundtrack. I don't know. I like Law and Order, but it's definitely not. I wouldn't call it the greatest show. It's not, you know.
Yeah, I just feel like all those shows are the same.
Yeah.
I like shows that, like, they build off each other. It's actually like a season, not like episode by episode.
Totally.
Each episode's a different story. Like, I want to get, like, I don't know, attached to the characters and develop a plot line. And
totally.
I'm not big on that kind of stuff, so I wasn't feeling that selection.
Yeah.
Not that I was feeling Golden Girls either or Curb Your Enthusiasm because I haven't seen it, but.
Mad Men, another show I haven't gotten into.
I have not. That's another, probably tops on my list for what I'm going to get into.
A show that I've heard I should get into. Like, I've heard great things, so. I can't give an opinion on that, but I will say that
so
I need to
get... So you've seen one of the five shows. You saw Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No,
seen a little bit of...
I've dabbled in SVU.
Okay.
And I know what Golden Girls is. I've had the opportunity to watch it, and I've actually chosen not to take that opportunity.
Okay.
But no offense to Brandon with that. You know, I just haven't...
If you were to look at kind of the top TV shows of all time list, Mad Men and The Wire would definitely be higher than those other three. And those are the two that you haven't watched at all.
Yeah,
so
Curb would be up there, though. Curb would be up there. Curb's known, you know, it's a great comedy. One show I would have put up here is Arrested Development. It's my favorite show of all time. It's, to me, it goes Arrested Development, and then right below it, Curb Your Enthusiasm in terms
of
humor.
Round out your top five.
Okay, my
top
five
shows. Any you can...
Can I go any era?
Any era, any comedy, anything.
I'm a junkie for old television shows that are really outdated and often irrelevant to these times. But I'm going to go with Columbo, 70s detective show. Episodes usually about an hour, maybe an hour and 20 minutes long. So each one's kind of like a short movie. I'm going to go with Columbo, Arrested Development, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm a big fan of the show, and this show gets very mixed reviews. Fly to the Conchords. I'm not sure if you've seen it.
I saw that a couple times.
I've
dabbled in it.
It's New Zealanders that make music. I don't know. It's a weird, kind of awkward
form
of humor.
That was weird.
It was weird, yeah. It's a weird show. I get it. But people who don't, I see why they don't like it. For my fifth show, you know, I feel like if I watched The Wire, it would be in there just because I know what the subject matter is, and I love shows like that. I'm going to go with... Now, this is tough, but I'm going to go with The A-Team from the 80s, the old show with Mr. T. They recently made a movie remake of it last summer. Show I watched a lot as a kid on TV Land, and a show I have, you know, the first three seasons of on DVD. It's kind of predictable. You know, every plot line is similar. It's an 80s action television show. What do you expect? But I really enjoy it. Close sixth. Starsky and Hutch, the original one. Big junkie for that show, too. I love it. Once again, another predictable show. But I love 70s like detective cop shows.
Okay.
They're really predictable, but I always get a kick out of them. So,
okay.
I don't know. I bet Brandon Southward might, maybe would, I mean, he likes Golden Girls. I feel like he might like some of those type of shows. I'm just basing that purely
off. I haven't really watched anything before, like, 2000.
I'm kind of stuck in the past, though, often. My taste in things is about 20 years behind, so just a personal issue.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go with my top five.
Yeah, go ahead. But, I want to hear it.
I'm gonna go with The Wire at number one.
You can't put SportsCenter in there. Just letting you know.
5 years ago, heck, 3 years ago, I would have had SportsCenter at number one. I think on like my MySpace where it said list your favorite TV shows, it was like SportsCenter and Entourage were the two that were on there for me. So. Entourage has since dropped off a little bit, but so yeah, I have The Wire number one, absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. I have, let's see, God, then it gets all jumbled together. I'm number two. I think I'm going to put Friday Night Lights.
I haven't
Whole
seen
eyes,
it much.
Clear Hearts, Can't Lose. That's
I heard it's
great
amazing.
Great show.
Okay.
Great show. That's really the only one on this list that I watched from when it originally aired to when it ended. Most
wow.
of these shows
Props.
I've watched, like, I'll watch them all in a month. I'll just go on Netflix and watch season by season. But Friday Night Lights I watched from day one. Absolutely great show. I'm gonna sneak that in at number two. Just off the top of my head. Number three. I feel like this one's so corny, and a lot of people don't like it because of how like big it is and mainstream it is. But I really got hooked on Lost.
Okay, okay for me for Lost. I had some friends that were really into it, and I personally never really got into it. So then when I did try to watch it, like midway through like season four or something, I was, you know, for lack of a better term, lost.
Yeah, you can't start watching that midway through the fourth season. I mean, you gotta watch that from the beginning. So I would definitely put that up there. Breaking Bad is another one that's right there as well. Breaking Bad and Lost, I would probably put at three and four. I'm not sure though. It's tough. But I'll tentatively put that three and four. Five, the one that I think I've talked about a couple times on the show, maybe not. Something that I've started watching recently, The League.
Oh, The League is hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious.
I feel like The League only appeals to those who play fantasy football. But once you do, if you do play fantasy football, you get it. You get that show because it's awesome.
It is. And like, if I had to watch one episode from any of those shows, I'd pick The League just because it is just so funny if you're a fantasy football owner. I mean, it puts a whole new perspective on fantasy football. I know it made me feel like my league was absolutely pathetic after I watched it, because I was like, man, we gotta up our game. We gotta get the video messages going. We gotta get the team names a little bit more offensive. We gotta get blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah.
The League is definitely up there. And
who are you? If you were on The League, who would you be? Andre?
is that a diss?
No, that's not a diss. Because you said on a previous show that you really liked you, Andre was your favorite.
Oh, well, yeah, because he's hilarious to laugh at. I don't know who I'd be. Who would you be?
Well, I'd be Taco. I'm not as cool as Taco.
You'd be Taco.
But I would wish I was. I was Taco. He's just like so oblivious and so random. But then yet he always just like, you know, he always gets the girls at the end, and he always like pulls something random out of his hat and just gets away with some crazy stuff. So I would definitely be Taco. I love that guy. I love John Lajoie, the actor that plays Taco. So
yeah, I don't know. I definitely not Kevin. I'm not a huge Kevin fan. Maybe Pete. Pete kind of subtly talks a lot of crap, and that is what I do in my fantasy league. I talk a lot of crap.
Subtly? Pete,
yeah. I'm not very subtle about it. Pete's probably a little bit more well-liked than I am in his league than I am in mine.
Are you hated in your league?
I'm a little bit hated from time to time. But yeah, I would probably say Pete. I'm a Pete fan. Cause he kind of, his life kind of revolves around fantasy football. He has no girlfriend. He doesn't really have a job. I mean, we showed him his job like twice.
I could see you being that guy, the all nighters in the office with the Rangers games on VHS.
Yeah. Yep. And then, kind of studying your fantasy lineup and then kind of trying always to start stuff. He always tries to start stuff, and that's kind of what I always try and do. I would see myself being Pete. And I loved in the first episode of the entire series, Pete and his girlfriend, or Pete and his wife, broke up over fantasy football, basically.
I was like,
that's
could you
perfect,
see a,
man.
A future
that's
relationship
awesome.
Getting broken up over fantasy sports?
Yes. I got to be careful because I don't know who's listening out there. So
hopefully some lovely ladies have been tuned in to listen to Beaver Sports talk.
I mean, we'll see if how big of a thing fantasy football. I've destroyed a few friendships over fantasy football.
Really?
So fantasy football is pretty big.
Destroyed friendships? That's rough.
Yeah, it is
did
rough.
They ever get re-mended?
I destroyed one like 4 years ago, and they got remended a couple of years. There's been a few recently that they're on the rocks because of fantasy football, but we'll see. Fantasy football gets competitive.
Yeah, it does. I'm the commissioner of my league, and I do a hot and cold job as commissioner. In 2008, there was some shady business involving me and two members of the league embezzling funds to pay for tickets to a Dodgers playoff game.
Oh my God.
It was a big scandal. Let's just say if I was Joe Paterno, I would have stepped down immediately in that situation. God.
How much is your buy-in?
Our buy-in that year was $20, and I think we embezzled $150 to spot money because we were going to game three of the NLDS Cubs-Dodgers game three. Dodgers actually swept. They won that game. It was totally worth it. But we were just, we were idiots. We way overpaid some sketchy scalpers for the tickets up in L.A. Really? It was a great experience. Dodgers are like my second favorite baseball team. Like them a lot more than the Angels. So they're my favorite NL team. I know how you feel about that. I have a favorite AL and a favorite NL. So
Yeah. Anywho. Speaking of fantasy, I'm coming for you in our fantasy league. I made a move this week. I took over second place in our Beaver Fantasy Football League.
Who has first place?
Yeah, you do. That's why I said I'm making a move for you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I believe I'm only 20 or so points down right now. I got a big week. Finally, Marcus Wheaton and James Rogers are starting to produce a little bit.
I know. I'm like James starting to sweat. 14. My receivers are not producing. I don't think I've gotten a single point. I had like 2 points from Obum Washam in like week 5 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like 2 points. And I saw him come in on a package last week, and then they switched it up, and he went back out of the huddle.
Darn it. I got 5 points out of Jaquiz, so if I can keep getting 5 points out of my running back, then I'm fine because that was good. I need some points out of Ocho Cinco in the slot. Or in the flex. He's killing me there. But overall, I'm making a move. But, yeah. All right, you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll move on from entertainment talk.
We'll get back to sports, the whole reason of why we're here.
We'll talk Beaver sports. We're going to go into – when we come back, let's talk some Beaver football. Let's talk about that article Grady wrote. A controversial article in Friday's Barometer. They got some negative feedback from Oregon State football players. So when we come back, we're going to hash that out, and we're going to talk about Beavers' upcoming games and the rest of the season. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to 88.7 KBVR Corvallis. We'll be back in 2 minutes after these public service announcements. Thank you.
The Corvallis Area MPO brings you your daily bike safety tip. Tip number 7, protect your head. Helmets are proven to be 85 to 88% effective in preventing traumatic brain injury, the primary cause of death or disabling injuries from bike crashes. Wear one. Have your helmet properly fitted at your local bike shop. Remember, drive your bike. Bikes are vehicles too.
This program is brought to you by Second Glance and The Annex, Corvallis' fashion recycling boutique for women whose mission is to help Corvallis look fabulous without spending a fortune. Second Glance and The Annex are locally owned by an OSU alum and are honored this year as an Austin family business. Second Glance maintains a green method of shopping, allowing their clients to experience the thrill of fashion while remaining socially and environmentally responsible. While embracing sustainability, the shops remain community-minded, supporting the arc of Bend County and Vina Moses through generous donations of merchandise. Second Glance and The Annex are located downtown Corvallis, the flagship store at 312 Southwest 3rd Street, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sundays till 5. In The Annex at 214 Southwest Jefferson Avenue, upon Monday through Saturday from 11 to 6, Sundays till 5. You're invited to check out their website and style blog at www.glanceagain.com or call 541-753-8011 for more information. Second Glance in The Annex for fashion.
In Disney's The Lion King and in our world, fatherhood plays an important role. Take time to be a dad today. Visit fatherhood.gov to learn more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Did you know the number of overweight and obese children has more than tripled over the past 3 decades? Overweight adolescents have a 70% chance of becoming overweight or obese adults. Studies show that nearly 31% of children and teens in America are either overweight or at risk of becoming overweight. Obese children and adolescents reported quality of life scores similar to those of children and adolescents with cancer. So get up, get active, play for an hour a day with your kids, and help prevent obesity in America.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Barometer Sports Thermometer here on KBVR. It's Alex Crawford and Grady Garrett. It's about 4:10 in the studio Thursday afternoon or evening. It's starting to get dark a lot earlier out, which
I got to start waking up earlier so I can enjoy the daylight for a little bit more. It's kind of depressing when you wake up at 2:30 and realize it's already starting to get a little bit gloomy outside.
That is depressing. Your sleep patterns, man. I don't know. I've got pretty iffy sleep patterns. Not this year, but last year, ask my roommate. I did similar things to you. I just had to take hold of the reins and pull them in this year, take control of my sleep patterns.
Next term. There's always next term. So.
Maybe I don't want to do that. Oh, for you. There's always next
term. No, for me, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's always next term for me.
I like where I am right now.
No. All right.
So let's talk about your article you wrote in Friday's paper a little bit. Why don't you let the listeners know kind of what you wrote in your article?
All right. Well, basically, I said that I'd heard that the ticket lines for student tickets have been really pathetic in the past couple of weeks. I heard for the Stanford game, who got the number 4 team in the nation coming into town. With Andrew Luck, a Heisman candidate, I mean, really a game that would be an historical win for Oregon State if they were to somehow pull it off. And I assume that fans would rally around that, kind of be like, all right, this is our one big game of the year. I mean, who really cares about a game against Washington when we're sitting at 2-8? But, I mean, we have a chance to get on SportsCenter if we win this game. It's like, all right, like, it's a big game. It really doesn't matter what your record is when you're taking on a huge team. But I found out that really the energy wasn't there. And I think this because, well, I knew this because camping out-wise, there was only about, I heard, from 5 to 10 tents that were set up Sunday night, camping out for Monday's tickets. And as of Thursday, there were 700 tickets remaining. Or as of Friday, I think, there were 700 tickets remaining for student tickets. Which both of those numbers are previously unheard of. I mean, usually, even back in 2008 when they played USC, Oregon State was 1-2. They had just lost to Penn State by like 30. But they came home, took on number one USC, and the student ticket line on Sunday night was absolutely incredible. I've heard people say that was the longest one they've ever seen. And so obviously the energy was there. But in a similar game, taking on a similar super good opponent, the line was nowhere to be found last week. And so basically I said, by drawing those two conclusions, the Sunday night line and how many tickets were available Friday, I mean, it's fair to say that the students are not as excited for football, really, as they have been, right?
You agree with that? I do agree. It's the symptom of having a losing season the way that we're having one. And, you know, just not coming out there and competing in a lot of games. That's what's going to happen. The students are going to lose interest. It's the product on the field, and you see the effects of that on the campus. So it's tough because, like you said, when you play a big team, when you play any team, you know, records go out the window. Whatever happens on the field determines the outcome of the game. On any given day, the Beavers can upset. I mean, any underdog can upset a big team. So, and we're good for that, too. Oregon State, historically, is good for one huge upset every season, at least in the last, you know, five, 6 years. So it was sad. It was disheartening not to see more students camping out. It was disheartening that there were still student tickets available Friday evening for the game. Probably some left Saturday morning.
Yeah.
It was disheartening that I myself almost didn't go to the game.
You woke up at noon.
Yeah, I woke up.
Because I called you.
You called me and you're like, hey, man, you still want that ticket? And I was like, yeah. If you hadn't called me, would I have gone to the game? Probably not. I'm glad I went. It was fun. And for a while there, the Beavers hung in there, and they definitely could have pulled off the upset. We'll not get into that just yet. I definitely think that officiating played a much bigger role in the game than it should have. I don't think refs should ever determine the outcome of a game, but they definitely played a huge factor in that on Saturday. But, yes, it's disheartening. And as you called in your column, the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, so basically I decided I could go two routes with that information, the information I had. I could either bash the fans for not being true fans, not really being fair-weather fans, or I could say this is a reflection of the team. Which really, I mean, it is a reflection of the team. You're lying if you say it's not a reflection of the team. The fans, it's sad to see the fans give up, but the fans are giving up because the team is not doing well. So, I mean, I was saying, when you're down in the dumps, as Oregon State is, you rally behind your fans. I mean, that's how teams pull off upsets at home. They rally around their fans. So the fact that I didn't think the fans were there for Oregon State to rally behind, and once again, the information I had was that there were still a bunch of student tickets left and that no one was really there camping out Sunday night.
True facts.
Which were true facts. I said that's basically the nail in Oregon State's coffin. I mean, they've looked absolutely atrocious, and now they've lost their fans. Like, the fans have given up. I mean, the comparison I used, a little bit far-fetched, but it's a similar concept, in my opinion. As I said, really, the students losing faith in the team is similar to a parent losing faith in a child. I mean, a parent is not supposed to lose faith in their child, and when that happens, the child knows that they've hit rock bottom. So I was basically saying, students should never lose faith in the team, and when they do, that's when you know it's real bad. So, that's when you know. And so I think my last line was rock bottom meeting the 2011 Beavers. So,
yeah, and I agree with most of the things you had to say in your column. And I liked your analogy there because as a child, the last person that's going to give up on you usually is your parents. And when they do, it's like, whoa, if my parents have given up on me, everyone else has given up on me.
Yeah. And so that's how I felt.
Do you still stand by what you wrote in that column?
Yeah.
To this day?
I heard that there were a decent amount of students there, which is good. But once again, you can't refute the facts that people were not very excited in the week building up. Heck, for all I know, maybe my article had an influence on that. Maybe people saw that and go, oh, there's still tickets, and they went and got tickets. Maybe it was an afterthought to them.
But yeah, it was definitely – that's a great way to put it. Saturday's game was an afterthought. It was something to do to pass the time during the day on Saturday for the majority of the students there. I was at the game, and the student section was fairly full. The stadium was pretty full. One person tweeted that it was the fullest they'd seen it all season. I disagree with that. But it was a very full student section, although I will say after halftime, definitely not as many people came back, which is even more disheartening because the Beavers come out.
We were
compete.
Right there in
yeah,
it. Yeah,
exactly. Like, that kind of shows you that it was just kind of a thing.
Exactly. So,
let's go back to the tailgate and drink now. Like,
exactly. I mean, it's just people were not into it. And so that I do stand by it. But let's get on to what other people think. And we got some feedback from others, or I got some feedback from others last week, and it even carried over a little bit into this week with comments on the website, tweets that people sent out. So let's dive into some of that.
Yeah. First of all, I really want to get him on the show or on the other show that I do with Boone Against the Spread Sports Talk Radio on Fridays. I want to get Trevor Romaine on there. He had a tweet on Saturday night that really grinds my gears. He said, what did he say exactly? I'm probably going to miss
it. He said the barometer. Here, I'm going to pull out Monday's paper because we actually put this as the tweet of the day.
I like
day.
That, yeah.
Okay, he said, the barometer sucks at Oregon State. I've been waiting a while to say this. Hashtag no support.
Yeah, so that tweet, I mean, okay, a couple things that I found I didn't like about that tweet. One, I don't understand if he's got a problem with the barometer, that's a personal issue, and he can tweet about that. If he doesn't like the quality of the writing, that's one thing. But to say that the reason he doesn't like it is because they've been giving no support. Well, dude, you've got the wrong idea about what a newspaper is supposed to do. A school newspaper is not there to support that school's players. It's not there to hold their hand, walk them to class, and pat them on the back after a tough loss. It's there to report unbiased on what happened in the game. Just as the Los Angeles Times isn't there to pat the Los Angeles Lakers on the back and there to, encourage the Los Angeles Clippers to stop having repeated losing season after losing season. No, it's there to call out who needs to be called out if someone needs to be called out. I mean, there's a line between being too harsh on the student athletes, mm-hmm. but you're...
I was solely on the team.
Oh, no, I was going to say, your column didn't call out any student athletes by name. It just basically pointed out something that was truthfully occurring on campus. Mm-hmm. And if Trevor Romaine or anyone else athlete or not athlete expects the school paper to be there to support them, if ASOSU expects the school paper to support them, well, it's not going to happen. Journalism is supposed to be unbiased, and the school paper is not going to hold the hand or pat any school organization, student, non-student, student athlete, whoever, on the back. It's just going to be a newspaper like any other newspaper. So that was my problem with it. Obviously, some people do not understand the meaning of journalism, and it definitely grinds my gears.
Exactly. And, I mean, we're not a PR machine. The Barometer is not a PR machine for Oregon State. Yeah, we're the Oregon State student paper, but that means we're just really the voice of the students. We are not here to promote stuff on the behalf of Oregon State. I mean, we are a newspaper. We do real journalism, and it's not really our job. I mean, if you want to read biased Oregon State stuff, if you want to read the PR machine of Oregon State Athletics, then go to osubeavers.com. You can read, I mean, you read their articles, it makes it seem like Oregon State's 8-2 this year, or 7-2 instead of 2-7. I mean, I'm just going to pull up their past couple of game reports. Let's see, from Saturday's game, the headline from Saturday's game on osubeavers.com was, James Rogers climbs record books in loss to number 3 Stanford. Hey, there's a nice little spin on it. Let's see. Against BYU, the headline was, Poyer's interception return highlights day in loss to BYU. Like,
yeah.
Like, who cares? Mannion breaks into record books in loss at Arizona State. Like, those are the headlines. If you want to read biased opinion, if you want a nice Oregon State spin, then go to osubeavers.com. Trevor Romaine, I mean, all due respect, but we're not here to pat you on the back. That's what the guys over at Sports Information are there for. If you want to read a piece that will make it seem like you guys are 7-2 and seem like you have support, then, you know, look at your own site.
Let's talk about Dylan Wynn's tweet. That one was weird. Dylan Wynn, freshman defensive lineman, leads the nation in fumble recoveries. Weird stat, bizarre stat, but I guess he's got a nose for the ball. He had a really interesting tweet to you. Was it to you? Yeah.
He didn't mention me in it Twitter-wise, but he had my name in it. So,
what did it say exactly?
I believe it said, Grady Garrett, if I wanted to be bashed by a school paper, I would follow the rivals team. Paper.
Yeah.
So I guess he would follow the Daily Emerald down at Eugene or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, and then he said something about, you're a great writer, you're going places. So that was kind of confusing. I didn't know if that was sarcastic or what, but.
Yeah, it had a sarcastic air, but yeah. It was like,
yeah.
It was contrasting things. He said, you know, for one, he would basically bash the Barometer, but then he said, Grady Garrett, you're going places. Like, maybe he was saying, I disagree with what you wrote, but you wrote it well. Like, I don't know.
So I guess he took a better stance than Romaine did, but still same line of thinking as Romaine's tweet, just kind of like, why are you bashing us? And really, the other thing is that was the first time all year we have wrote anything negative about the football team. I mean, yeah, some of our headlines have been a little bit negative, and we've included a lot of negative stats in our articles, but we haven't had a column until that column. So really, they've been kind of spoiled. I mean, I know editors in the past that probably would have been banned from the football team by now.
Yeah, and yeah, you know.
At this point in the
season.
It's
been, I mean, the throttle's been pushed back. There's not been a lot of bashing or negativity at all in the paper towards any sports teams this season. So, I don't know. I just don't think people should expect, student-athlete or not, anybody should expect the school paper to be there to support the school. Great example of this. Ohio State school newspaper is actually the one that originally broke the story about... Yeah. Holy, my phone is blowing up. I don't know what happened there. They're the ones that originally broke the story about the entire Terrell Pryor tattoos and you know, money being exchanged between players and the local tattoo parlor. The entire Jim Tressel Ohio State scandal was originally broken by the school newspaper. Now, clearly, that is good journalism right there. And despite what anyone thinks, oh, the school newspaper shouldn't bring that kind of negative publicity to the school. Well, it's a newspaper, and it should be reporting in what's in the best interest of ethical journalism. So, you know, I just want to – whoever that kid is that wrote that article, he's going to get a job right away.
Yeah, and I wanted to go into a few other comments that we got back. So we went over the tweets from the football players. There was a comment from Anonymous on our website that said, I am deeply offended by this article. Grady, you are not a true fan. How dare you disparage your team? Fairweather fans make me sick. If the team's performance upsets you so much, don't you think that your article is only going to further dampen their spirits? Why not support them unconditionally, as a real fan does? I am sick of articles like this. If you want to give up on your team, fine. Just don't drag them or me down with you.
Yeah, it's like, you didn't even write this from a fan's perspective, so I also disagree with that comment. And, you know, I'm not just agreeing with your column and disagreeing with these comments because you're sitting here. I fundamentally disagree with what these people had to say.
This person saying, I'm not a true fan. Who cares? I'm a media member.
You're like, yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, exactly. You're not. Brandon Sprague always tweets about this. And Brandon Southward also always talks about this with us. When you're writing an article, you're not a Beavers fan. You take off those orange and black tinted sunglasses and you write it from, you know, an unbiased third party standpoint. So I'm deeply offended. You're not a true fan. All right, good. That means that you wrote the article the way you're supposed to write it. Number two. Yeah, I don't know. Gosh, reading these comments just make me so angry. Just like, if you want to give up on your team, it's like you didn't give up on your team. You pointed out that the school had given up
on
your team.
Exactly. Did I say my opinion once in there? No. I other than the fact that I think the students have given up on the Beavers, which in turn is really the nail in the coffin for the Beavers, I didn't say I've given up on the Beavers. I didn't say I've given up on the students. I presented the facts, which the facts were not very many people camped out Sunday, and there were still 700 tickets available Friday. And I said, here's what I think those facts means. From a third-person point of view, looking at the Beavers football team, the students, that's what I was saying. I just think it's unreal. And then, I mean, you had people taking kind of shots at us, saying, no offense meant to Grady, but it is no wonder that such weak, uninformed articles come from a school newspaper at a university with no journalism program. To compare the Oregon State football program and student body to a child-parent relationship is ludicrous.
Not ludicrous. I thought it was a good comparison.
I thought it was a valid comparison, but, I mean, obviously, and, I mean, such weak, uninformed articles is kind of the part of that is a little bit upsetting. I mean, like I said,
I didn't think your article was uninformed.
I presented the facts. And, hey, if someone disagrees, then they can go to the line this Sunday and let me know how it is. Take a picture, send it to me. Tell me it's as long as it was last year, even when we were suffering through a losing season then as well. And, I mean, I've heard other comments I've gotten back. People have said, oh, I didn't want to go out there and sit in the rain. And, I mean, just because I don't want to go sit in the rain doesn't mean I'm not excited for the game Saturday. Well, last year and 2 years ago, you would have had no problem sitting in the rain.
You'll be willing to sit in the rain if the team's undefeated halfway through the season. You'll be willing to sit through the snow, the lightning, the thunder if this team is undefeated playing number 4 Stanford and we're ranked probably in the top 10. You know what I mean? So, yeah, just, I don't know. A lot of uninformed people. Yeah. A lot of people...
This even got some comments on Oregon Live because they linked it on Oregon Live. And, I mean, some people in there had a lot of the same stuff to say. I mean, it's really, really the thing that boils down to is people don't really realize that we are here to present the facts. We're here to present our opinion. We're not fans. I mean, this person said, I think it's terrible that some students at OSU do not support their team, especially the school paper editor. I mean, that's not my job, like I said. Like we put in Monday's barometer under Romaine's tweet, sorry, it's not our job. We're not paid to pat you on the back. So,
I mean, I tried to call him out a little bit on Twitter on Saturday night when I saw it. I replied to his tweet that you and Brandon Sprague retweeted. And then he never replied to me, so maybe he got the message, or maybe.
Well, I actually heard that he got in a little bit of trouble for that.
Oh, really?
I heard that Steve Fink, the head SID at Oregon State, was a little bit upset because he came up to our beat reporter and said, "What do you know about this Romaine Barometer tweet back and forth stuff?" And
that's funny.
And the beat writer was like, "I have no idea. That's all Grady. Like that's and, and that's me." And so I was like, "Yeah, I mean, and." I guess Steve Fink was a little bit upset with Romaine. He didn't really care at us because, I mean, we didn't do anything wrong. Romaine's the one that started it.
I wish he wouldn't have got upset because I like that. I like that interaction.
Yeah,
that
I know. It might be harder to find Beaver tweets of the day.
Darn. I think our guests are here,
all
actually.
All right, so. I was just going to say,
you wanna let
the football team might not like us, but
the women's
the
soccer
simple
team is,
the
yeah.
simple way to like us is to win, and then we will write about you nicely. And we have written plenty of nice things about the women's soccer team this year because they win. So I'll let them in right now. You want to set that up?
Yeah, I'll get it set up. And I just want to talk about a text I just got from listener Riley Hayes. He said, "You still got to be a fan, though, outside of your job. Establish the two different identities." And I agree with that. You do. If you're a fan of the team you're writing about, that's fine. And you can have your two different identities. You can be, you know, you can be Clark Kent, and then you can be Superman at the game. You can change who you are on game day. So definitely, you know, definitely it's hard to toe that line between fan and unbiased journalist. But it's what you have to do. You can't write your articles from a fan's perspective. And if you are trying to get a career in journalism, you're not going to get one if you write like that. So we now welcome into studio two senior women soccer players here, and they got a big game tomorrow night. So we'll get to that in 1 second. We're going to take like a 1 minute break here, play a little music, and then when we come back, get ready. This is the Barometer Sports Thermometer here on KBVR. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
An ordinary day. An ordinary family's living room filled with an ordinary bunch of kids, and they were doing nothing when suddenly...
That's a personal foul. Inactive activity on a sunny day.
Coming to the rescue was NFL running back Reggie Bush.
Let's play.
Yeah! And play they did. There was running and jumping, and laziness was crushed.
Hey, kids, don't get a lazy penalty.
Go online to smallstep.gov for fun playtime ideas.
So you can be a player, too.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Be a player.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. If you stack their desks one atop the other, it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. That's 12 Empire State Buildings. But what's truly scary is that another stack is going up tomorrow. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Yeah, if you want. I mean, it'll help.
I can hear you.
Andy's on the field to communicate.
Welcome back to the Barometer Sports Thermometer. Joining us in studio, senior soccer players Colleen Boyd and Brittany Galindo. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Just got done with practice, actually.
We're doing great.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, first of all. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Big game tomorrow. Let's talk about that a little bit. How's the team feel coming into this first NCAA postseason game here? For women's soccer since 1994.
Oh yeah, we need to sell that. So has there been a game here before?
We actually don't know.
1994.
Okay, because I had said in the Barometer that this was the first one, but then I guess he said he read on OSU Beavers that 1994 right. You guys hosted.
Right. Well, 1994 is the first year that we even had women's soccer, so...
And it was the first year that you made the tournament. I think you guys started in like 88 or something.
There was like four Pac-10 teams at that point.
Now we have 12, yeah, so yeah. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so, and you guys lost, I think, in the first round that year, so.
Yeah, the first game we lost.
Yeah. Anyway, we're excited. It's really cool that we get to host. We weren't really sure if it was going to happen or not, so obviously it is happening, and it's against a team that we would love to beat, so we're all really excited.
How do you guys feel about your draw? I mean, you guys get to host, but you also play a team that already beat you once this year.
Yeah, well, that shouldn't have happened. I mean...
It's definitely different this time around. I mean, we played them earlier in the year, middle of the year, and it was at their house. And even though, like, on paper we should have won, we didn't. And I feel that this time around we have even better odds on paper to beat them. And so, honestly, like, it goes more than just first round of the NCAA. It's we haven't beat this team not only in our 4 years, we've only beat them once in program history.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, NCAA aside, we want to beat them just for the fact that we have not beat them in so long. And it's like, if we win, then, yeah, we're on to the second round, but it's so much more than that.
It's a personal victory in itself, yeah. We'll be celebrating two awesome events.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good. Let's see. You guys, going forward, I mean, after that, I know you guys don't like to look ahead. You're not supposed to look ahead, but as fans, as media members, we do like to look ahead. You would play at Florida State in the second round if you were to win, correct?
Assuming that Florida State won.
Assuming that Florida
State
wins.
I'm hoping for
which,
a Samford upset against Samford, Florida State. Samford,
yeah. Which I couldn't tell you where Samford is, what their mascot is. And so my guess is my expectations aren't too high for Samford.
Well.
Oh, not Stanford.
No,
Samford.
Samford.
S-A-M-F-O-R-D. I was like, you guys want to draw Stanford? Like, they're, you know, they're a good team. Samford.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good old Samford.
So it's kind of weird that you guys might play two teams that you've already lost to this year.
Potentially,
huh?
Yes. And then Memphis is also in our bracket, which we played in the first round of the tournament last year.
You guys absolutely destroyed them, right?
Which is actually pretty funny because Memphis is now 21-0-1.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Right. We were their last loss, which is pretty funny, and we crushed them.
Might be a product of playing in Conference USA. Is that their conference?
Yeah.
USA? I mean, that's probably not exactly the strongest.
It's not, but in the same respect, I mean, you can't take them lightly. They've obviously been doing something right, so more credit to them for going undefeated this year.
Yep. So really, I mean, what's your guys' expectations? I know you guys have been talking about kind of wanting to make it to that Final Four semifinal round since day one, really, when the first article we ran about you guys was kind of touching on that. So, I mean, is that kind of still, you guys still have that hope, that belief that you can make it that far?
I definitely, the belief is still completely there. This is our third time around. We're not new at this anymore. We know what to expect. We know what we need to put into these games. And, I mean, yeah, we're getting two tough teams, Portland and Florida State, potentially. But if we want to win Final Four, we're going to have to play them eventually. So it's kind of like if we do make it to the Final Four and if we are in that final game, the road there is even that much sweeter. And the final product is just, I don't know, that much more rewarding.
Now, let's talk about, just briefly, last week's game against U of O ended in a tie. How is that to end your season on a tie against the rival? Is that, you think, you guys worried about that at all? Are there any concerns coming off that game? Or you guys moved on, ready for the next one? Just talk about that a little bit.
I don't think we're worried. I mean, it wasn't the result that we would have ideally wanted, but, I mean, it wasn't a loss, so both Brittany Glendo and I can walk away saying that we never lost to the Ducks in our history at Oregon State, so that was awesome. You know, we would have loved to win, but it didn't work out for us that night. We had a lot of great opportunities on goal, didn't put them away. The goal was a fluke. So, I mean, it was disappointing in one aspect, but at the same time, you know, we walked away with a tie, and I think we're really confident that that game isn't holding us back at all.
Yeah, and then kind of soccer aside, that crowd was probably the biggest we've had in our 4 years since we've been here. So, like, as a player to look over, and I think at the end of the day there was about 1,400 people there, it was just amazing to know that Beaver Nation was behind us. And, like, obviously it was a rivalry game, and it's going to bring big hype. But, I mean, there was a basketball game that night, and we had fans, and I'm assuming they picked our game over theirs. So not to put any rivalry between us and basketball. I just think it's really cool because, like, we're a women's sport, and I just think it's totally awesome. And it's, like, it really is. It does help with the home field advantage when you have a lot of people there. Because, I mean, when we go down to their place, they are obnoxious. I mean, their biggest sport probably is women's soccer, especially with their history. So they have
for Portland.
Yeah.
Portland.
So they have drummers, and they have all their students, like, body painted out and just in our ears. I think 2 years ago, they made one of our girls cry, honestly.
Oh, wow.
And so it's just home field is
huge. Oh, they get personal information. They knew my brother's name. They're brutal. And going off what Lindo said about 1,400 people at our game, that in itself is just such an awesome feeling for us as seniors, because when we came in as freshmen, there was maybe 150 people at our games. Like, wow. Maybe on a good Friday, clear, decent weather, we'll pull like 150. So yeah. To get that many fans is really
incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
So a question for you two as seniors, how do you feel you've contributed to the legacy of women's soccer here at Oregon State?
Well, obviously the program didn't have a great reputation coming in. And Brittany and I have both said this multiple times, that really it stemmed from pure determination, work ethic, and competitiveness, because none of us coming in were high recruits. I mean, we all had a couple options, but, you know, we weren't top recruits. And I think that's half of what made us so great, because we were all just willing to put in a ton of work and bust our butts to be the best players we could be. And that's really, you know, I think what turned the program around.
No. Did you guys read today's article? There's a big, big feature on the five seniors, which Colleen and Brittany are both a part of. Did that accurately portray you?
Absolutely.
Yes. If
it's
you
fun to read.
Yes. No. If we're talking about Brittany Galindo sitting on her dining room table singing Nicki Minaj, then yes, it accurately portrayed our team.
Yeah, that was a late addition. late addition to the story, and I was like, perfect. That's a great addition to the story.
Well, you couldn't describe her any more perfectly, so
it might happen once or twice a week.
that's funny. And then it was also interesting to learn that you were the maid of honor in Ashley Folsom's wedding.
I was the maid of honor in Ashley Folsom's wedding. It was down in Medford. It was a great time. And she was beautiful, and Rob's great, so it was really fun.
When was that?
That was after our freshman year. So,
jeez, so she's been married for 3 years.
Oh yeah, she's practically an old lady now.
God, that's God, is that
she's
weird?
Taken.
Okay, how weird is that for you guys to be? I mean, teammates with someone that's married.
It's like, not weird at all.
It's not weird.
It's not weird. It just makes me feel bad that I'm not anywhere close.
That's what I was saying. Like, I was talking about with a coworker today who's going to a bachelorette party tomorrow, and I was like, isn't that weird? Like, if you're, like, single and, like, you're 20 and you're, like, 21, however old we are, it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. That feels like you're behind.
I know. I definitely feel personally, like, when I hear about people I know, like, proposing to their girlfriends, I'm like, whoa.
I mean, we just give her some slack. You know, we give her a hard time, but whatever. It is what it is. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. And Rob is awesome.
Rob's
and,
a great
he's
guy.
A big supporter of the team. Obviously, he was an athlete, so he supports her and us, and it's a fun marriage for us, too.
I have a feeling they'll land pretty high in our top athletic couples.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
Oh, fun!
For the Valentine's Day issue.
They'll probably be pretty high on the
They may
the
not
list.
Even be on campus anymore. I think Ashley's going to graduate in winter. Oh, so.
Still going to put
him in there. You should put
we'll
him in there.
Like they're
a
still on. We'll pretend like they're still on.
I'm excited for that.
But I'm going to be counting on Brittany, who's kind of our correspondent, to give me the lowdown on who's dating who.
Oh, gosh. You're getting some trouble.
we want to know the athlete couples. And
That might be our only marriage one. We'll see. What other... Let's see. I want to see what else stands out in this article. There's one thing, actually. The beat reporter came back to me and said that, because I told her to get like more information about you guys personally, like your bond as a team. Mm-hmm. And she said they talked about this Vegas trip, but they couldn't tell me nothing was good for print. So
it's true.
What
Nothing's
can you tell us about the
print.
Vegas? What can you tell us about the Vegas trip?
But it was the best weekend of our lives.
It was good. There was, oh my gosh, what, six of us? Six,
no,
six,
more
seven?
Than that. Seven. Eight?
Seven of us. I don't know. Anyways, we bought our tickets like 2 months before because they were super cheap. And we went on a Thursday to Sunday kind of thing
kind
out
of
Memphis.
A Monday.
I don't remember.
It was a really good time. We had to actually... We flew on Allegiant, which is the small little airline, you know, that only flies to certain airports. And, of course, we went on Memorial Day weekend. So the flight leaving out of Eugene, which is a college town, was like $150 more expensive than the flight leaving out of Medford. So what did we do? We obviously took the flight leaving out of Medford. So, therefore, we drove from Corvallis to Medford and then got on the plane, went to Vegas, and just had a really, really awesome time.
When was this?
Memorial Day
weekend of this past this past, the last one that happened.
Okay, so when's Memorial? May. Is that like May?
And May.
Okay. Okay, so you guys were all 21 then?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, cause, and it was it just you seniors? And then like Chelsea and Justine?
And
or
Chelsea was with the national team.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
Right. And I knew that. There. Courtney Wetzel came
Courtney
too.
Wetzel.
Okay, and she was the one that graduated last year, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
The
and then,
girl
with
the dress.
Yes.
And then Ashley didn't come, correct? Ashley Folsom didn't come.
No, I was giving her frequent text updates though. She was definitely being updated on a regular basis.
Yeah, her needs are different. She needs eggs and milk. We need not eggs.
Okay, do either of you guys all gamble at all?
I gambled.
You gambled?
Yeah,
did you
my
win?
Dad actually flew into Vegas while we were there, and he hung out with us, and it was great. I did win money.
You did win.
I did win
God.
Money.
What was your favorite gambling activity?
Blackjack.
Okay. Okay.
My dad's a huge blackjack guy.
I can't wait to be of age.
Yeah.
It's a great time in your life.
Yes, I'm excited.
8 days from now,
oh,
I turn.
Dang.
I turn
yes,
21.
Congratulations.
Under 21.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, we're young.
Welcome to the big leagues.
I know. I got like a month and a half. So stoked for that day. Yeah. Actually, I have to go. Unfortunately,
yeah. he's taking off because he's going to interview Jordan Poyer.
Yeah,
correct?
For my show
shout
tomorrow.
Out.
Shout out to
shout out.
Yes, shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out to Jordan Poyer.
And I'm gonna do a personal shout out to my radio show tomorrow. You can catch it from 2 to 4 with Boone Krueger here on KBVR-FM. We're going to do, in honor of Veterans Day, we're going to do our top 5 most patriotic movies. It's kind of morphing from a sports talk show to like a pop culture show. So I don't know how fans feel about that. But anyway, you can catch it. And before I go, I want to read a text message from listener Alex Rios from the University of Southern California. Oregon State football needs to just sack up. They are mad they are losing and need to learn to handle the press and the truth. Fact of the matter is they suck and need to start winning or else this will continue. Welcome to the big leagues. That is abrasive. That is harsh. Yeah. But I guess that's obviously
easy to say from Southern California.
Yeah,
though.
from a USC bandwagon person that goes there, but I still consider him a bandwagon fan. Anyway, thank you ladies for coming on. Mm-hmm. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck tomorrow.
Well, you guys aren't leaving yet.
No, I'm leaving. I'm just saying goodbye.
Okay,
also,
bye.
Brittany, I wanted to give you a shout out for your flyer that you handed out. I gave
Yeah, those were funny.
Did you get a flyer?
It's up on the wall in
Perfect.
My room.
Awesome. I'm glad you're the only one that's gonna see it if it's there.
I have one in my office. I took a picture of it on my phone.
My friend,
did you send it to all your friends?
My friend actually came in my room and was like, dude, where'd you get this? I want to make photocopies. And he actually took it to the library and he made photocopies.
Tell him to come to the quad tomorrow because we're going to be in the quad again handing out flyers.
Awesome.
Those flyers.
Okay.
Not those flyers.
Are they going to be a little bit more PG? Or
Absolutely.
Or at least PG-13?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies.
I actually took a picture of the flyer on my camera phone. And I actually have a friend that's dating one of the Ducks, or kind of dating.
On the team?
One of the Ducks, yeah,
I
on the team.
What you mean.
So I almost, I thought about sending it to him, but then I didn't. So I didn't want to, like, create any bulletin board
funny.
Material for the Ducks. But, I mean, I guess we can talk about it now because their season's over and yours isn't.
Aw,
so.
Poor Ducks.
Poor Ducks.
Yeah. I know you're so heartbroken by that.
I feel so bad for them.
It's funny, like, I'm from Arizona, and so, I mean, growing up, I was kind of an ASU fan, kind of hated U of A, but it was I came here and just, I loathe the Ducks. I cannot stand them. I can't stand the sight of green and yellow. Just the rivalry is out of control playing a sport and going here. And I'm just happy that we never lost to them.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because I hate the athletes that say, oh, it's just another game.
It's not.
The baseball team is notoriously known for that. I mean, I'll try and get good quotes out of them. And, like, Pat Casey will, like, I mean, I think that's who tells them not to talk. Or it might be, like, the sports information people. But someone tells them, like, yeah, don't say anything. So they'll get something whispered in their ear before they talk to me. And then they'll be like, yeah, it's just another game. I wish them the best and just all this stuff. So it's so good to hear you guys come out on record and actually express your dislike for them.
Yeah. We haven't got censored yet.
Yeah. But, yeah, you guys – one thing I've always noticed about you guys is you guys give the best quotes of any team on campus. Why is that? Are you guys
We're just a really
talky
outgoing
or?
Group of people.
We're outgoing. We're confident. We talk a lot. And I don't know. We
so
laugh
stuff,
a lot.
Some stuff just slips out.
We laugh a lot. I don't
it's
know.
Not even that it slips out. We put it out there. Are you kidding?
I mean, come on. I got quoted saying that I wanted to make Portland cry.
I was gonna bring that quote up. That was I could come up with a quote of the week from the women's soccer team from every paper from this.
Brittany Galindo has her own quote book.
Quote book.
let's be real.
But yeah, by far the best one this week was your quote saying that you wanted to make Portland feel like little children and send them back to Portland or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, but the little children part was pretty funny. So I'm glad that made that in the paper. And you guys have both had good quotes throughout the year. I was going to try and go through. One of my goals this year is to go through and create a top 10 list of women's soccer quotes from the year.
That would make me so happy. I would love that.
Maybe we'll run that in your like season finale, whatever
which
issue
I hope
that
is.
Which I hope is December. Exactly. Well, yeah. I think it's, yeah, December.
It is December.
Okay, December
5th, I think.
Yeah, I think December 4th or whatever, summons the championship, something like that. But yeah, hopefully you guys are still playing then.
Yes, please.
let's talk a little bit. Let's see. Do you guys have any more senior stories that maybe weren't in the article today? I know we touched a little bit on Vegas. We touched about Britney's Nicki Minaj acts.
Ashley Folsom's wedding.
Was there anything in that article that was missing? Any missing info? Any good stories you can come up with? Top of your head?
I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of good stories, but they're all just relevant to our team. Nobody would understand.
But it seems like you guys are pretty unique bunch.
To say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. And this radio interview has only reassured those feelings of mine. But yeah, so hopefully you guys keep going. And we get to see you play for a little bit longer. Although I'm guessing you probably won't be at home again, but we'll get to follow you. And heck, who knows? Maybe we'll get some Beaver fans out there if you guys make it to the Final Four. Yeah. And I think the Final Four, what is the Final Four called? Is it called the College Cup or is it called the Final Four?
We call it the Final Four. Okay. Technically, it's the College Cup.
Okay. Okay. And that's in like Georgia or something.
Kennesaw.
Yeah, Kennesaw.
Kennesaw,
Georgia.
Yeah.
It's the first time it's going to be there. It usually alternates between somewhere in Texas and North Carolina. This is the first year it's going to be
College Station, Texas.
Really?
And Cary, North Carolina.
You guys know your info.
She does for sure.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about Portland. Let's see. They're I'm looking at tomorrow's sports section. Mm-hmm. Which you guys get your nice little normal full page spread, which I put you guys on the front a lot. So I hope you're appreciating that, and I'm appreciative of you guys because if you guys weren't winning, then I don't know who I'd really put on the front of the sports page on Friday. Yeah, so you guys are really
happy
holding
to be
up
there
to your end of the deal. But yeah, I mean, I was looking through Portland's. I mean, they've made it to the NCAA tournament 19 of the past 20 years. They won the national championship in 2002 and 2005, and they've won 12 straight first round games in a row. So I mean, are those just based on history alone? Do you think that's a little bit? I mean, is it a little bit worrisome that they're just so used to winning in the postseason?
They're just numbers. You can throw numbers in my face all day. A number's a number.
I mean, they've made it. They've won how many? 12, I think you said. We're two for two. I mean, we're starting.
Right.
Yeah, we want to be three
that's
for
true.
Three.
Yeah, got to start somewhere.
And I mean, granted, experience does have a lot to do with it. Portland barely made it into the tournament. I think that they have one of the second or like
they
yeah
did
they have,
have
they have the second worst record
yeah they're
in
one
the,
of
the
they're
tournament.
One of three teams with 500 or below
and,
in the field.
It's just funny because I have a friend that plays on the UP soccer team, and obviously I was on Twitter after the Monday announcements announcing or saying how like we get to host, but my friend that goes there tweeted just all capital, there's like, oh my gosh, we made it into the tournament. Like, their team could not believe that they made it into the tournament.
And the headline on the website was like, Portland received surprise NCAA bid.
So for them to be surprised, like, it says a lot coming from that program. So we really need to take advantage of this opportunity
and just put it away
and show them that you should not even have been chosen.
Yep. That'll be a big, definitely a big game. So I got an email today saying that there would be 2,200 tickets available. You guys expect to sell out?
That's the reason why we, we were out in the quad handing out flyers today. It was because we would hate it if Portland, you know, bust down all of these fans and snatched up all the tickets, because the first come, first serve basis. So
does Portland get any allotment to them specifically, or is
no.
it just first come, first
nope.
serve?
No, whoever comes up and buys a ticket. So, you know, that's what we really wanted to emphasize today was that, you know, beer fans need to get out there. Tickets go on sale at 5, mm-hmm. and the gates open at 6. So we're trying to get people out there and aware that, okay, guys, buy your tickets at 5. Don't let Portland, you know, sell out our home stadium. Right. And, you know, so especially since we had 1,400 people at our last game, and Portland has an average of, like, 4,000 at their games, we're expecting a really big crowd.
Yeah, so. I'm a little bit disappointed that they capped it off at 2,200. I was thinking, heck, just fit as many people in as you can. I mean, even if they have to, like, stand standing in awkward room spots.
Only. Yeah, actually.
I think they said they have 200 standing room only tickets, but I feel like you could fit more than 200 standing around there.
I mean, probably, but I feel like the fire marshal probably has something to say about that.
That's true. We actually added bleachers.
We put some bleachers in, but they're not, I mean, they're not big
the
bleachers.
They're not the most beautiful bleachers.
But they'll do. They're going to work. They're going to hold people, and that's all that matters. So, you know, we're hoping that maybe after this, you know, the past couple years, we'll be able to get a bigger facility built, and that way we can, you know, hold more fans and get more people encouraged to go out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know much about the UP team? I mean, neither of you guys are local girls, so you probably don't know them from, like, prior
Never
to college.
With them.
But
yeah.
Have you, I mean, do you know what they bring? I mean, I was looking at just some of their stats. I mean, you have this Danielle Foxhoven girl who scored, like, 26 goals or something her, like, sophomore year.
Some ridiculous number.
And then she was only has, like, 8 this year. I mean, are they talented? Or, I mean, are they really talented? Or, I mean, is it... Have they just had a down year? I mean, what's their status on them?
For me, they're a good team. They've been a good team. They may have graduated a few great players, but even this year, they're still a good team. I think that they have gotten unlucky with a lot of the results, but it does say a lot about how where their program's moving towards. Like, I think that, like, this Danielle Foxhoven girl, she's a great player, but a great player doesn't make a team. I know that they're kind of struggling in their defense. Defense does play a big part in it. Mm-hmm. And then if it's not connecting in the midfield, you can't even get the ball to your great forward. So if it's not all clicking as one unit, you're going to get the record they got. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we figured out pretty early that Danielle Foxhoven's a great player. Yeah. And, you know, with the WPS draft coming up, she's been talked a lot in, like, some of the mock drafts that have come out. And so, I mean, everyone knows, like, she's a great player. But like Lindo said, I mean, one great player isn't going to make a great team. So we just have to make sure that we're doing our job defensively and shutting her down and control the ball in the midfield. And
she might have a few bruises on her after tomorrow's match. I promise you that.
Right, since Brittany Glendo will be marking her. So.
All right, yeah. And you guys are both on the defensive end of the spectrum. So hopefully you guys can
shut them down.
And I actually predicted you guys would beat Oregon 4-0 last week. Oh, so you guys let me down there. So, I mean, hopefully you guys get some goals on the board early. And then lock it down on defense.
It really always helps.
It definitely helped. Beaver fans would probably be a little bit on edge if you guys took it to overtime again. And overtime in soccer is just so
stressful.
So stressful because
golden goal.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Score, it's over.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely stressful, and especially since it's golden goal. I mean, it's not golden goal in like World Cup or anything, but here it's golden goal. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's. I mean, I can only imagine what it'd be like to be a college athlete. I mean, reason number 1,000 why I'm not a college athlete is I wouldn't be able to handle the stress of that. But
that's another thing that's cool for Beaver Nation kind of to know. I know a lot of people criticize soccer because they get angry when it ends in a tie. This game cannot end in a tie. There's
that's
going
good.
To be
Thank
a winner
goodness.
And a loser. So even if
it,
you know,
even if it goes to
even
PKs.
Overtime ends, there's going to be PKs. And let's just say Colleen... That's a lot of pressure.
On,
we had a really good PK practice today. Oh it's okay. Gosh. I think I saved.
Don't even let me tell you. Okay, we took 20. She saved 18. I'm not. No.
No way.
It was. I mean,
it was a good. It was.
Took
you
20
saved 80%.
I think I saved
85%.
14.
Jeez.
She saved a lot.
I ate my Wheaties this morning. I'm ready.
All right, well, make sure you eat them tomorrow too. Make sure you
I
eat
will
them
a whole
too.
Fat bowl of them.
All right. Well, we will be out there tomorrow. I know Alex and I will both be out there. We encourage, like they said, gates open at 6. Tickets go on sale at 5. There's only 2,200. We're guessing Portland will bring people up. So. That would obviously be sweet if Oregon State bought all the tickets and Portland got kind of
all of them,
kind of yeah.
every single one yeah. before
so,
they get there.
Show up, just drive there at 5, get your ticket, go back home, go eat dinner, and then come back at 7.
You
so
can do other things.
Or really, do other things. I don't care what you do. Just get your tickets at 5.
All right. Well, we're going to have to go. Our time is up, but we want to thank Brittany Galindo and Colleen Boyd for coming on to our show today, and good luck to them tomorrow.
Thank you. Thanks again for having us.
Yep.
Go Beavs.
Exactly. All right. So we're going to sign off. We'll be back next week from 3 to 5 next Thursday. Hopefully we'll be talking women's soccer again, because hopefully they'll still be playing. I'm sure we'll have some football talk going into senior day. So thanks for tuning in to the Barometer Sports Thermometer. For Alex Crawford, this is Grady Garrett, and we're signing off. Thanks.